Butch Hill has spent over 30 years training in a wide variety of martial arts systems. He holds instructor certifications in both martial arts and weapons, including an 8th-degree black belt in karate and a 4th-degree in jiu-jitsu. We are pleased he is able to spend some time with us answering questions. As a master instructor, what can you tell people who are authorized to carry lethal weapons about spending some time practicing with their weapons?
After people have been safety trained and authorized to carry a lethal weapon, I believe that weapon familiarity should be their primary focus. Any kind of weapon, whether it be impact, edged, or projectile, should become a natural extension of the hand. You can only accomplish this by training daily in the fundamentals in order to develop skills. Obviously, simple is better. The more complicated the weapon is, the greater the learning curve.
What are a few pistol exercises you could recommend that a legally armed person should practice?
Some of the exercises I feel are most important are being able to access your weapon, especially under stress or duress. There are many drills available for a person to train with under a qualified instructor or someone with a lot of experience in that area. Practical exercises, scenario-based, adrenaline response training, in other words, lifelike training. These are the kind of drills which should be practiced on a regular basis in order to maximize your proficiency with a weapon. Only you can make the decision as to how much training is required.
A lot of people who carry a pistol also carry some type of edge weapon. I noticed that you carry your Spyderco on your weak side. Why on your weak side versus your strong side?
I'm often asked about carrying edged weapons in addition to a handgun. Many people, civilian and law enforcement, will carry an edged weapon as a backup to their primary weapon. Many times, the backup weapon is carried on the weak side, away from the primary weapon. I personally teach the weak side in case I'm using my strong hand to defend against an attempted weapon grab, or if my primary weapon, handgun for instance, malfunctions, and I can immediately transition to the weak-sided backup weapon. A transition drill like this has to be taught under, again, a very adrenal stress-based type training scenario in order to be maximized in a real situation. At our training school, we teach this skill via an adrenaline-based exercise, which consists of a rear choke attack and attempted pistol grab. We also stress training and dexterity with both hands equally in event of injury to the primary weapon hand.
But you answered a panel question about the 21-foot rule some time ago on our website. Can you elaborate more regarding this exercise?
The Tooler's drill, which is also known as the 21-foot rule, was developed by a police officer in order to illustrate the speed in which a determined attacker can cover 21 feet in approximately 1.5 seconds and deliver lethal force before most individuals can access, draw, and fire their handgun. In many jurisdictions, edge weapons can be carried without the legal constraints of a firearm, with almost little controls. They are extremely deadly, almost invisible when in motion. Therefore, understanding of how to deal with edge weapon attacks should certainly be a part of every citizen's defensive skill set.
You have trained tons of people over the years. Can you relate to us some stories where one of your students had to use their skills or a firearm for self-defense?
Here's an example of a situation where one of our students used an edge weapon in a defensive mode in place of his firearm. He had had a traffic altercation with an individual behind him, and he pulled up at a busy intersection. The guy behind him now is still fuming. He jumps out of his vehicle, runs up to my student, leans in his window and starts choking him about the throat with both hands. Although he was wearing his handgun, he made an instant decision not to risk a shot and possibly injure an innocent bystander at this busy intersection. Therefore, he was able to pull his backup knife, release the chokehold by cutting the attacker on the wrist, therefore escaping serious injury. In another instance, one of my former students had his weapon in the glove box of his vehicle. As he started into a drive-in market early one morning on his way to work, he was suddenly attacked without any provocation by another guy with a 2x4 board. He threw his arms up and was able to partially deflect the blow through one punch and decked his attacker, who immediately then fled. Many times, empty hand skills will be a person's first line of offense rather than the opportunity to access a weapon. This final scenario concerns a case where the weapon was immediately at hand and accessible. A student was sitting at an ATM with the day's receipts for deposit when a man reached through the passenger window and attempted to steal them. She immediately accessed her handgun, pointed it at the offender, who turned and fled without any shots fired.
I heard of a situation, and I think it was a former student of yours, where a warning shot was fired, and we all know what we've heard about warning shots. Can you relate something about this incident?
Yes, I know the incident you're referring to. I believe in this particular case, it was an exception to that hard and fast rule. In this case, my student was suddenly approached by an individual who appeared to be under influence of drugs, acting irrationally, and suddenly produced a large machete. Unable to disengage or create distance between him, he immediately pointed the weapon at his chest and gave orders to halt and drop the weapon. The guy refused to comply. Not wanting to fire the lethal shot, he fired a warning shot into the ground between him and the attacker. The attacker suddenly reacted as if awakened from a dream, threw down the machete, and fled with no further harm done.
Butch, thank you for taking the time to visit with us. If any of our listeners want to contact Mr. Hill for training or weapon sales, including firearms, he can be reached at area code 615-308-8724. We have also provided a link to his email address. Thank you very much.